Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And now you're listening to Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Steve, I'm sure you have seen or heard White Sox fans half-jokingly saying that Chris Bryant would be a great fit in a White Sox uniform. Can you see these two teams making a consequential trade? And they've dealt with each other before, and they've mm-hmm. made consequential deals. But can you see them doing something prior to the deadline?
Consequential is one thing, but somebody on Twitter posed me the same thing, and I'll tell both of you guys the same thing that I tweeted to him. Both of you have a better chance of playing in the NBA next year than the Cubs and the White Sox concluding a deal that sends Chris Bryant here and perhaps sends Moncada to second base with Bryant starting at third. That's not going to happen. I don't think it's on the radar screen of either team. And if you guys think you can make the NBA, well, your chances will be much better than the Bryant trade coming to the South Side.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons on The Score.
That was Steve Stone with Grody and Ranji on Friday. I guess Grody got into it again with a caller this morning on Mully and Haw. I want to hear that here in a minute. But this hypothetical that we threw out is obviously fantasy land. It's sports talk radio nonsense. I completely get it. But I think it actually does illustrate a point when we talk about how much you want Rick Hahn to be aggressive or not if you're a White Sox fan when you are in your window of contention, but hopefully closer to the beginning of that window than the end, and how much you value one World Series. I'm seeing people text and tweet, and right now 70% are agreeing with Tanny and I.
30- not 70%.
69.4% are agreeing with Tanny and I. 30.6% are with Shane.
It's dropping even more. 68.8, 31.2. We're splitting the difference between what I deemed ridiculous and not ridiculous.
But don't worry, folks. The people that are incorrect in this poll, they are very vocal, and they think that by tweeting things that it'll make their opinion stronger.
It's working.
And logical.
Yeah. So the question was, obviously, it doesn't work this way. We understand this. But in terms of like how you could get too attached to prospects, I said, would you trade Andrew Vaughn, who Shane had said was someone he was not willing to trade under any circumstance, would you trade him for Chris Bryant, who is a rental, if it guaranteed you a World Series? And he said no, because he wants this team to win multiple World Series, and he thinks they've got a better shot to do that with no guarantee at a first and Andrew Vaughn for the rest of his career, as opposed to a guarantee at one and then no Andrew Vaughn going forward, which is crazy because you can't win multiple World Series until you win the first one. It's crazy.
So what?
So what do you mean, so what?
I think they have a better chance at winning multiple World Series with Andrew Vaughn on the team for the next 10 years than they do with Chris Bryant on the team for the next 3 months.
No, but they would have 100% chance in this hypothetical at winning the first one.
I don't want one. I want multiple, and they have a lesser chance of winning multiple if Andrew Vaughn is not on the team.
They have a lesser chance of winning multiple if you don't win the first one, and I'm guaranteeing you the first one.
They have a lesser chance of winning multiple if Andrew Vaughn is not on the team for the next 10 years.
If this team's going to have multiple bites at the apple here, it's not going to be because Andrew Vaughn is good. It's going to be because of the starting pitching.
Fat chance, dude.
Well, I just,
it's about Andrew Vaughn.
I see like a lot of people saying, well, the Cubs mortgage their future for Chapman. Hey, how many World Series has Gleyber Torres won? Do not fall in love with prospects. Do not fall in love with the future. Like, winning the World Series is what matters here. And I hope that Rick Hahn takes a huge swing. I would hate it for Sox fans if trade deadline comes and go, they add a middling relief pitcher, and Rick Hahn comes out and says, the market was too expensive. Our additions are going to be internal with the addition of Eloy and Luis back, and we believe we've got a good enough team as constructed to win the World Series. Man, that would be cowardly. It would be cheap. It would be small market, and it would not be...
But there's precedent for it working.
There is.
The same team. 2005, Jeff Blum.
Okay.
Rick Hahn and I, as you know, are very much on the same wavelength. Yeah. I know that his thoughts line up with mine. He's not going to trade Andrew Vaughn for a rental.
It's not about trading Andrew Vaughn for a rental. I think Andrew Vaughn's going to be awesome. Like, but if Rick Hahn could snap his fingers, rub a lamp for a magic genie, and say, hey, I give you the 2021 World Series, but you have to somehow, some way construct a roster for 2022 and beyond without Andrew Vaughn on it, I guarantee you he takes the World Series ring and everything that comes with
it. It's funny that you say guarantee so confidently as somebody who's not close personal friends with Rick Hahn.
It's true.
You saw, and I'm not going to get into the details, but you saw how quickly Rick responded to my email yesterday when I wasn't even asking him for anything, when I was just sending him something.
I did.
That's how close he and I are.
You're so close. That you can't get him on the show.
It's because of you! Stop posting so many times!
I'm off next week!
He won't come on before the All-Star break. That's
All-Star
fair.
Break already happened.
I mean, the trade deadline.
Call
that's fair.
A baseball guy.
That's fair.
Yeah, okay.
It's fair.
All right, I'll take off some time in August.
I know what Rick is thinking and planning on doing and what he's already done and what he's going to do.
That's why you had the Luis Robert news.
No, it's not because of Rick.
Okay.
Well, can you not work if they win the World Series the day after? Can you just not come in? Well, we're cool with that if you just don't come in. We just want to enjoy it.
Okay. Why do I stop you from enjoying it?
Right? What do you think about that, Shane? That's a good idea, right?
Yeah, man.
Make the baseball show. Yeah. Get Spiegs in here.
Yeah.
If you can get him, you know.
Yeah, the Matt Spiegel show that we always wanted.
I'm the one guaranteeing you guys the World Series in this hypothetical scenario.
With a dumbass hypothetical.
Yeah.
In a bad faith argument.
How bad faith? You're the one who won't trade Andrew Vaughn.
Yes, because I understand his how good he is.
Okay.
The bright shirt you got on today, by the way.
It is a bright shirt. That's true. You don't like it? I think it's a good-looking shirt. Orange is a good color on me. You don't think you could pull it off?
I don't wear much orange, no. I just look like a traffic cone.
By the way, thanks for that compliment on Twitter about my grilling expertise.
Okay, so here's another poll that we can put up. How angry should I have gotten, Tanny?
Were you hacked today?
I wasn't even hacked. Okay. Hacking is different. If I leave my Twitter up in a public place or like one of these communal computers, then yeah, fair game. Go do something as long as it's not explicit. I was running an errand today from Mitch, I think.
No, you were getting lunch.
Yeah, same thing. I was getting lunch for myself down there at Just Salad. They got more than just salad, by the way. And I come back up. In my office, my close personal office.
That we use for the show.
That I let you sit in a chair across my desk from.
Oh, how gracious.
And somebody tweeted something from my Twitter account. Oh, Danny Parkins just gave me a great grilling tip. What a genius. I don't think that is very nice. To go onto somebody's personal computer on their Twitter account in their own office and tweet something.
I mean,
I wouldn't do it to like a normal employee here, but you, I've got no problem doing that.
I mean, I can't really speak to it because I mean, I've known people around here who changed Bernstein's profile photo to him holding a fish, you know, when he wasn't looking. It was a communal computer, you know, and then he brought in Greg Davis and said he was hacked. It really went far along here. And then at that point, you just feel bad because you're wasting the company's time and resources. But yeah, that's kind of dirty pool. Yeah, I mean, it's your private computer in your office.
Yeah.
That's like, I'm going to grab your phone and tweet something while you're not looking. You know?
Exactly. It's the same thing.
But I knew it was not you tweeting it. So
of course it wasn't.
It didn't make sense.
But because I appreciate content, I didn't delete the tweet. I got to leave it there.
Because you appreciated the retweets.
I don't care about that.
He did make sure to at himself, though.
Yeah, so he did.
So he can get any fringe followers.
So you appreciate the retweets.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're trying to get younger with my audience.
That's
all
true.
All the hot chicks that follow me.
Trying to stay relevant in the game. Yeah, absolutely. Keep us young and hip around here. But anyway, I can teach you how to grow anytime. It's not going to be a problem. You're in a slump.
No, I'm not. I'm not in a slump. I did some phenomenal chicken thighs in the smoker this weekend. I did some great brats last night. I smoked Brussels sprouts with chorizo and onion. It was unbelievable. I've broken my slump.
Oh, good for
both
you.
Both sexual and otherwise.
Excellent. Those are the ones that I'm most concerned about. The cooking is the one I'm concerned about, frankly.
Okay.
Well, what benefits me occasionally. Us occasionally. Your sex
slump. The sex one?
No. The cooking is the one that care more about.
You are a much more pleasant person after the other thing.
Yeah.
Is he more pleasant after a nice grilling session or another session?
I honestly think.
He's more experienced with the one than the other, obviously.
I think he comes in sadder after the dry pork bellies than the dry spell in the bedroom.
You're 100% right.
Yeah. I know you better than you know Rick Hahn. That's
no. Again, again, no.
All right. Well, then, I'm just curious about this then. Fine. Forget the bad hypothetical or whatever, the bad faith argument that you called it.
Yeah, when you lured me into the trap. Oh, Andrew Vaughn for a ring. Yeah, man, that sounds reasonable. What about Tim Anderson? Hey, man, take it easy. That's not how you framed it. You see how the media does you out here.
Yeah. Fake news media, by the way.
Absolutely. Shame.
Which there are many.
I know you're... You're betting with your heart or whatever, but how do you think?
I bet with my heart with Circus Sports, by the way.
We know you do. How many World Series do you think the White Sox are going to win with Rick Hahn running the team? Like, you know what I mean? Like, with this core of guys, however you want to define it, this era of White Sox, like, if at the end of this year, that era of Cubs baseball is over, even if Hendricks and Contreras are still here and they re-sign a guy, that's the six-year run of Cubs baseball. If last year was year one and whatever is the end of this particular era, how many World Series do you believe the White Sox are going to win?
Realistically?
Yeah.
Two. If I'm speaking directly to the ear of my good friend Rick Hahn, 17.
Got it.
But okay. I think two.
You think they're going to win two World
Series? I think
there's
enough talent here and not enough in the pipeline in the AL Central for the White Sox to skate through and at least make the playoffs the next 5 of 6 years.
Which is exactly what the Cubs did.
Right.
Made it 5 of 6 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Only won a playoff game in 3 of those years.
Right.
Won a playoff game in 15, 16, and 17. One pennant, one World Series. So all I'm saying is pretty incredible run. Winning a team in baseball over a 5 year.
How did we get back to the Cubs?
No. Well, because the point is that.
WCUB.
WCUB the Cub. No, because the point is that is ridiculous what you're saying.
It's not ridiculous.
It is.
You're the king of hyperbole. It's not ridiculous.
I bet
this man said he would trade his dog for a quarterback, and now he's like, "Oh, your argument's ridiculous."
Yeah.
I would.
That you're still.
Well, no, I mean, now they got Justin Fields, and I didn't need to.
And he loves dogs, so he wouldn't even want you to do that. So.
Yeah, you know, I felt bad about that.
My God.
No, but honestly, like, I wonder what the odds would be at Circa or at Rivers, whatever, wherever you place your sports bet. It's probably 20-1 that the White Sox win two World Series. If not longer odds than that. They're like, what are they right now? 8-1 to win this World Series? 10-1? Something like that?
Sure.
So it's very difficult to do. And to win multiple, it's just, like Taney said, you could be a really good team for a long time and not win because it's baseball. And 162 gets whittled down to best of one in the wild card, best of five, best of seven. It is not a representative postseason to the regular season. They're going to win a crap load of baseball games. They're going to win a bunch of divisions. They're going to get a lot of bites at the apple. But how many multiple-time World Series champions do we have in the last 25 years? You have the Yankees.
Giants.
The Giants and the Red Sox.
Yeah.
It's very difficult. It's real hard.
Sorry, I'm a fan, man.
I know you're a fan. I hope you're right. But I'd take the one.
I just don't need any of your trash Cubs to do it. I'm fine with Andrew Vaughn. Don't need trash Chris Bryant, who I love, by the way.
Okay. This guy. And I'm the one with the hot takes. He doesn't want this World Series because of Andrew Vaughn. Learn something new every day. Vinny Goodwill was one of 11 people who had a vote for NBA Finals MVP. He voted for Giannis. Spoiler alert, it was unanimous. He made the right decision. But he was at these games. He's going to give us the perspective on what it was like going forward, how it impacts the Bulls, the rest of the league. Talking league with Vinny Goodwill next on The Score.
He is a Yahoo senior writer. He did cover the Bulls. For NBC Sports Chicago, he did cover the Pistons. For the Detroit News, he is now officially a very good friend of this program. He is Vincent Goodwill. Dude, you and I will be doing that again soon, I hope. Great job. Really well done.
Absolutely. I'm glad to be a friend of the program, Jim. This is really, really cool, man.
Dude, this is really cool for us, too. I appreciate you. I mean, really well done. Vincent Goodwill. I love that, man. I love the way he shows up. I love the energy. I love the insight. When I say somebody's a good friend of the program, what that means is we have good access and they bring something good to it. And they're loyal and they show up a certain way.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons on The Score.
He's doing the same show that he did 20 years ago. And if it made me 90 million dollars 100 times over, whatever the hell he did, I would probably do it the same way. I'd love to fill in for the man. The man is a legend. Let me extend the vine. Vinny Goodwill, Yahoo Sports. You're in the jungle. Vin, what's up? Friend of the program. Take a vine. How's it going, Vinny?
That's a good one, man. What is wrong with you?
Many things.
Deprived? Are you doing one of those 24-hour marathons? Is that what today is?
No, Spiegel's sick, and so I'm flying solo. And, you know, I'm terrible at impressions, but I guess I do an okay Rome and an okay Mike Francesa. Those are like the only – it probably shows that I listen to a little bit too much radio. But I appreciate you making time right after the finals. I read your column at Yahoo Sports. It was fantastic, as always. And I saw that you were one of 11 media members who had a vote for finals MVP, and I was relieved to see that you gave it to Giannis. Was that a tough decision for you?
Yeah, for maybe like 3 seconds. You know, like, but no. I think anybody with a brain, right? Anybody with half of a gnat's brain realized that Giannis was the MVP. I don't know where we get this conversation stuff from. Maybe we got too much space to fill, right? You know, television, radio space, whatever it is. But Giannis had 2 40-point games and a 50-burger in the closer. Like, not even Michael did that. Not Kareem, not Kobe, not LeBron. And we're having a conversation about that. I think he was fantastic. I think it was great for the league. I think it was great for him. I think it was great for even a team like the Bulls, you know, in the future, as far as how you build a team, that you can build a champion a million different ways, and it doesn't have to be this, you know, one-size-fits-all, we can only do it in a super team type of way.
Yeah, I was obviously 100% kidding. I think if there would have been 100 people on that panel, I would have hoped that 100 people would have voted for Giannis. I want to follow up on all of those things that you mentioned, but you did bring it to the Bulls. Why do you think it's good for the Bulls how Milwaukee won last night?
Because I was thinking about this morning, and we think about, you know, the conversation is super teams, right? Only super teams win. If you look at the past, even the past 10 years, if you go back to the Miami Heat in 2013, there's only been one quote-unquote super team that's won a title since then. And that was the Golden State team with Kevin Durant. And that was an unbeatable team. But all these other teams have been good to great with varying degrees of talent, because there's enough talent to go around now that you don't have to necessarily stack the deck. You can go get Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton, not anybody's necessarily idea of second and third options on a championship team, but they were the second and third options on a championship team. That should be able to say, you know what, yeah, you know, Giannis is special and everything else, but it doesn't mean that you have to tank it out to say, okay, that's the only way we're going to get a superstar, and that's the only way that we can win. Get on your ass and get to work.
But nobody in the league, I would imagine, is under any sort of false impression that this is going to stop the player-driven alliances, and next year Brooklyn will be the favorite to win a title because they have the most talent, right? Like, what you're saying is true. It can be done Milwaukee's way, but the smoothest path is still going to be Brooklyn's way in terms of instant contender year in and year out, correct?
Yeah, but that's why we saw Brooklyn lose out in the second round, right? Because
that injuries.
Okay, but here's the thing. Every way that you build something is going to have horse. Yeah, you got three big spades, and who's your fourth best player on that Brooklyn team? You can't name the fourth best player on that Brooklyn team.
That's right.
You can name the fourth best player on Milwaukee. You can name the fifth best player on Milwaukee being a champion. You can do the same thing for the Phoenix Suns. And I think while everybody is obsessed with the way that Brooklyn has done it, there are no guarantees there. And the fact that James Harden has issues at his age, the fact that Kyrie Irving has issues at his age, I don't think that's something that's going to magically go away because next season is a different year. I think those are things that every team have to sort of deal with. And if I am a team, for me, if I'm building a team, I'm trying to win in multiple ways. I'm not trying to win one way. And shockingly, here's the other part. Have you heard of anybody else talking about they want to team up with somebody? Like, I think we're sort of phasing out of the super team era. Like, I haven't heard guys recently, you know, qualm for like, oh, you know what? I can't wait to go over there and play with Luka. You know what I mean? And Luka's a great player. He's someone who would be on a super team because I think he's close to being like that superstar player. But I don't think you hear that as much anymore. I think we're in an era of change, and Giannis is going to get so much credit, so much equity for this. I think other players may say, you know what? It's something cool about being able to have my own show and doing it myself and having it being built around me.
Wow, I wish I shared your optimism, Vin. We're talking to Vinny Goodwill of Yahoo Sports. I mean, we just saw Harden team up in Brooklyn. I think we're going to see Chris Paul opt out, and maybe he goes and teams up with...
With what money that he Chris Paul giving up to go to the Lakers?
I don't know. I don't know. But if money is the most important thing for him, then maybe not. But if he wants to win a ring, I would imagine that they try to figure something like that. We'll see what happens with Damian Lillard. Like, I hope you're right, because I think what Milwaukee did is great for the league. But I'm skeptical, man. Like, it's a players' league, and I think that guys like to play with their friends. And again, like, it's fine. Brooklyn didn't win, and you're right. Not all super teams end up winning, or teams that we declare to be super teams end up winning. But you think this offseason Damian Lillard stays in Portland and Chris Paul stays in Phoenix and no one goes and tries to team up somewhere?
No, I think if Damian Lillard asked for a trade and let's say he goes to the Philadelphia 76ers, does that make them a super team?
No, it does not.
Okay, then. So that's what I'm saying. Like, he can go and play with Joel Embiid, and they wouldn't be a super team, nor would they be a lock to make the NBA Finals, nor would they be a lock to make the Eastern. You're talking about two top 15, you know, players. I think we have to change what our definitions are. Is a super team three superstars? Okay. Show me where else besides Brooklyn, a very unique situation in itself, where you're going to see three superstars teaming up, three guys in their prime. Not someone on the back end, because Damian Lillard has spent 9 years in Portland, the same amount of time that Charles Barkley spent in Philadelphia before he got traded to Phoenix. And people said Charles Barkley got traded 2 years too late. So if you spent 9 years somewhere, I don't look at that as you joining to go team up with your friends. I don't look at that as, you know, you're trying to take the easy way out sort of thing. I don't look at it that way. So I don't. You know what I mean? Like, if he were 5 years younger, I would be able to agree with you. But if Damian Lillard goes to Philadelphia, if Chris Paul in year 17 decides to go to the New York Knicks or the LA Lakers, is he really going to tip the scales that much? Did you just see what he did? Did you just see what happened in the finals? When they shut his water off, the game was over.
Do you think he's hurt, by the way? Like, that didn't make any sense.
He was fine in game one.
I know. He did. You're right. He did, and Drew Holiday is probably the best defensive point guard in the league. So that is true. But, man, that – I don't know. That game five is one of the worst games I've ever seen him play. So I do sometimes look to other explanations of it. We're talking to Vinny Goodwill of Yahoo Sports. I love talking NBA history with you here, and I know that legacy sometimes gets a little overused, but
– Yes, it does.
And I get that, but – For Giannis specifically, I'm just curious, 26 years old, two-time champion, or excuse me, two-time MVP, champion, defensive player of the year, champion at a younger age than LeBron, younger age than Jordan, younger age than a lot of the superstars, only one of 12 guys in NBA history with two MVPs and a ring, and again, only at 26. And oh yeah, by the way, won a defensive player of the year. What superlatives are you willing to attach to 26-year-old Giannis at this stage of his career?
I don't know, because, you know, they say, oh, he was younger than LeBron, or he was younger than Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan got there in year 7, right? After spending 3 years in college. So you can fudge the numbers a little bit. Yeah, Michael Jordan was 27 years old, but it was year 7 in the league. And yep, the 2 years prior to, he lost to the eventual champion. I would say for Giannis, his legacy to this point is he is the greatest story of player development in NBA history. Like, you can talk about all the things that he's not, right? Oh, he needs to have a jump shot. No, he doesn't. Have you seen what he looked like when he came into the league? Do you remember, you know, him running into head first into Mike Dunleavy in game 6 of the first round series, you know, against the Bulls, because him and Dunleavy got into a little something out there? Like, he was a raw talent that developed year after year after year and played every single position, probably with the exception of shooting guard for obvious reasons. And you saw all of those unique talents on display last night. I don't think you can compartmentalize him and say, oh, well, he's the second greatest power forward to ever live right now just because he's gotten here. I think you can look at him and say he might be one of the most unique talents we've ever seen in NBA history, given, you know, his speed, his skill, and his strength and his size. But as far as putting him top 20 or something like that yet, it's hard for me to do that right now, right? Because you don't want to be prisoner of the moment. Like, I have a pretty good gauge of where I would put Kevin Durant. I have a pretty good gauge of where I would put Stephen Curry and LeBron James. Someone who is right in the heart of his prime and still has, you know, more things left to accomplish and maybe can become a better basketball player. I want to see him develop. I want to see him develop a little bit more. I want to see what the finished product, what the peak of Giannis looks like, before we start having those conversations. But as far as the list of what the things he's accomplished, Danny, it's pretty high. You can only say only a few guys can say that they've done the things that he's done.
Well, and so when you talk about the finished product, what guy, like, who do you go to then for, they won an MVP, but they weren't a finished product?
Like, Michael Jordan.
Much less two MVPs.
Michael Jordan. His first MVP was by no means a finished product.
Right, he was the best scorer. He was the best scorer in the league and one of the best defensive players in the league.
But he won the MVP and Defensive Player of the Year in the same year.
Right,
and nobody would tell you that 1988 Michael Jordan was the best version of Michael Jordan that we've ever seen. They wouldn't even tell you that 1988 Michael Jordan was one of the top 5 versions of Michael Jordan that we've ever seen. So you can have MVPs, even LeBron James when he won his first MVP in, I believe, 2009, that wasn't anything close to the best version of LeBron that we've seen. That was, you know, the most athletic version. That was, you know, him being a devastating force where he almost looked bigger than the floor at times because he was so big and so powerful and so quick. But I think that Giannis is in that category where even if he doesn't win another MVP, right? Because it's possible that he doesn't win another MVP. You can look at Luka coming down. You can look at Kevin Durant maybe reclaiming that sort of space. You can look at a bunch of guys in this talent-rich league who may stop Giannis from winning another MVP, but it won't diminish his greatness. He can become a better player and not win another MVP, but him becoming a better player means there's a better chance that he'll be hosting up another championship, another Larry O'Brien trophy over the next few years. I don't think this is the last time we see the Milwaukee Bucks on this stage in, you know, late spring, early summer.
I agree. We're talking to Vincent Goodwill, covers the NBA for Yahoo Sports. Yeah, when I asked the question, I was thinking LeBron. You went to Jordan, and that's hell unbelievable company for Giannis. So that's the historical stuff for the career and all of that. What about for the finals performance? Two different games with a 20-point quarter, including the clincher. The 50-burger in the clincher, one of only 7 50-plus point games or 50-point games in NBA Finals history. The signature alley-oop in Game 5. The signature block in Game 4. Coming back from down 0-2. When you think of great individual NBA Finals performances, where does Giannis's come in when you think about basketball history?
man, hey, let's not forget, Danny, I saw his knee go in an unnatural
Correct.
Way. About 10 days before he played in game one, right?
Right.
Like, we can't forget that. I think it goes right up there with, if you're talking about overall finals performances, not just one game, but of an entire series. You're talking about Hakeem Olajuwon in 1995, their second year. You're talking about Michael Jordan in 1993. You're talking about Michael Jordan in 1997, where he had a game winner in one game. He had a near triple-double in another game, the flu game in game five. And then, you know, the game-winning assist where he put his stamp on every single game Michael Jordan did in 97 against the Jazz. I think Giannis's stamp on every single game in this series that they won is something that is very rare. Like, maybe Shaquille O'Neal in 2000 when he was putting up 40-point games against the Indiana Pacers. But it's the astronomical performances. It's the moments. The fact that he leaped off of a bad knee where he saw a ball sail over his head, and the ball moves faster than the body, and he beat the ball and beat the player to the spot to block a dunk with a minute left in the game and on an ailing knee, and you're playing with all this energy. I think that's the thing that people miss, is that he's doing these late game plays with effort and energy, and he's doing it on a bad leg. He's not doing it with like the guile of an old player. He's doing it by going all out. And to me, only a few guys, only a handful of guys in NBA history can say that they played their best and have that much energy left to give with a minute or so left in the game to produce these sort of magic moments. There's no tricking going on here. Giannis is outworking everybody in these last seconds of these games. That's what's most impressive to me. That's what strikes out to me as an impressive NBA Finals performance. It could be top 10 in my lifetime, certainly.
Yeah, I think that's right. The only one that I would say that you didn't mention is when LeBron came back from 3-1 and beat the Warriors and led both teams in all five statistical categories. That's the best.
Yeah, so I guess, I'm gonna say I didn't forget that. It's just, you know,
yeah,
I'm stuck in a time machine.
Sure.
Where my brain works in 80s and 90s and, you know, sort of forgets a few things. But no, LeBron in 2016 was really impressive. I think Kevin Durant in 2017 was even more impressive. I know people don't like saying that. Kevin Durant beat LeBron James at LeBron James's game. What are we talking about here?
Oh, it was incredible. I just coming back from down 3-1. Like, it was
against the hobble Steph Curry, where you get the stimulus package from the league and you get Kyrie Irving giving you 40 balls to help you.
Yeah. True.
It's not LeBron coming back from 3-1. He ain't do it with Matthew Dellavedova as his running mate. He did it with Kyrie Irving as his running mate.
Right, and Draymond's helped, right, with the bonehead technical. I understand, but it was there. The point is, I guess, is that we're talking about this. Sometimes these things can blend together. But but Giannis just put on a performance that had you – I mean, through this conversation, we've mentioned Michael Jordan, LeBron, Hakeem Olajuwon, Shaq, KD. I mean, that spans – you went to Jordan in 88, right? That you're talking about 25 years of NBA history that you're going back on. It's a truly historic and memorable thing that he just did. And I always like trying to put into context. Like, I honestly think basketball does that better than the other sports, because it's like, it's a team game, but we look at it through the eyes of the superstar, because the superstar has the biggest impact on the game. And there are not many guys who have had a bigger impact on an individual championship than Giannis just did at both ends of the floor.
It was incredible. And I know our buddy Nick Wright probably can produce, you know, a top 10 list on call right now. Like, literally, if you called Nick Wright in his sleep and asked him top 10 finals performances off the top of his head, he would not have to wake up and brush his teeth before he gives you 8 of those 10. I'm not that encyclopedic, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I will say, from the standpoint of both ends of the floor, from the fact that some of the best plays in this series were made defensively, not just him blocking shots, but remember, he stuck up Chris Paul in game four, I remember, forcing a turnover, ripping him when they were down 3. You know what I mean? Like, he just did whatever was necessary. You need a rebound? I got it. You need a steal? I got it. You need a block? He did everything except make threes And that's what we're going to bag on him about.
Not me.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We as a basketball Twitter. You know, yeah. Hooper or basketball player? Baller or basketball player? No. How about dude that won?
Yeah, dude that won and dude that dominated. Last thing, what's Bobby Portis's future in the NBA?
Bright. Seriously. It is because you look at a guy like that and you can see that the way that the Bucks fans embraced him. And honestly, I didn't think that the Bulls fans didn't embrace him. I don't think that Bobby Portis is a different player than what he was. I think he's gotten, you know, more mature, probably more physically mature, you know, as a player, just as you get older and you go through the league a few times or whatever. But I think Bobby Portis is a valuable piece. You know, even if he lacks the athleticism that maybe you would expect, but the fact that he's tough, that, you know, his teammates absolutely adore him, unless you're Nikola Mirotic. Like, usually everybody rocks with Bobby Portis, so he's not going to be a problem in your locker room. And people like being around this guy. Danny, when I tell you, he had the most fun out of anybody that I saw last night. And I saw or heard stories of P.J. Tucker running around with a shirt off and nothing but chains on like he was Mr. T. I saw Giannis holding the Larry O'Brien trophy, the MVP trophy, like it was newborn babies. And yet Bobby Portis looked to clearly have the most fun out of anybody there. And people gravitate toward that.
That's great, man. Any other color that you can give us on that? Any details of the partying in Milwaukee, locker room or otherwise?
I will see, you know, COVID protocols, you know, not in the locker room or whatever. So you get little bits and pieces, but there's nothing that I could give you without violating some serious, you know, trust, Danny.
Okay.
I'm not going to say it out loud. You know, broken. See, here's the thing. If you guys had erased that drop of the blind squirrel twice a day thing, I might have gave you something, but I've heard the blind squirrel twice a day line for the past, you know, five or six years.
Not worth it. I don't want the anecdotes. I want the drop about the blind.
Even a blind squirrel finds a nut twice a day.
In fact, I'm going to send that to Jim Rome so that he introduces you the next time he's on the show with that. That's what I'm about to do. How about that?
You're amazing, Danny Parkins. You're amazing.
You are as well, Vinny Goodwill of Yahoo Sports. Thank you, my friend. We'll talk soon.
Hey, appreciate you guys.
Thank you. That's Vincent Goodwill from Yahoo Sports. It was a historical performance. Just think of the names that Giannis is going to be with for the rest of time. It was truly ridiculous what he was able to do last night. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
Even a blind squirrel finds a nut twice a day.
They do. Thank you to Vinny Goodwill of Yahoo Sports. I heard transition with Mully and Haw and Bernstein and Rahimi, and they were talking about what you can and can't wear to baseball games if your team isn't playing there. Like, can you wear a Diamondbacks jersey to the Sox Brewers game this weekend?
Wasn't that Lawrence and Bernstein and Rahimi? They also did it in that transition.
It might have been that show.
Yeah, it was.
I listened to both transitions today. They were both great. Regardless, point is, heard that conversation. And then I see people on Twitter doing the whole which hot dog is okay for National Hot Dog Day. Who cares? Who cares what people wear? Who cares what people eat? Who cares what people do in the privacy of their own bedroom among consenting adults? I just do not care. Have we not?
You have hot dogs? You use hot dogs with sex, man?
Have you seen Sausage Party?
No.
You haven't seen that movie?
No.
You don't really like movies. Have you seen it, Tanny?
You seen that movie, Joe?
See that movie? No, I have not. No. I heard it's funny, though.
Really funny. I mean, I like pretty
much. What's it about?
It's a raunchy, R-rated comedy made by Seth Rogen about animated grocery store items.
Hey, man, that sounds really stupid.
It is. It is really dumb. But great. You would like it, I think.
I doubt that.
I think it's a pretty funny movie.
You don't know me like you think you do.
That's true. You wouldn't take a guaranteed World Series for your White Sox. You're not that big of a fan.
On Twitch, ScoreJunkie53. Don't waste your time on Sausage Party. Terrible. See? That's how I identify.
So instead of me, someone who you talk to multiple times a day, every day for multiple hours, who we know each other and at times would even consider each other friends in addition to colleagues and coworkers. You would take, what was that person's
name? Well, I mean, it's Score Junkie 53.
So you take Score Junkie 53, his opinion, over mine.
Yeah, a lot of directions that username could go. Could be a big Score fan, could be a big fan of scoring
junk.
Junk, and he's like a junkie, like a drug addict.
Yeah, but he's probably, like, given Mike that he's Fontenot? In the Score's Twitch page, he's probably a junkie for the radio station who was born in 1953 or is 53 years old.
That's fair.
So right in the demo. So we gotta, you know what? Listen, listen to him.
Stop all that, Teddy.
Never mind. Score Junkie 53. Whatever you say.
Jim Boeheim. He knows Billy Donovan well. He coached against Kobe White. He's a hoops junkie.
You said a hoops junkie like four times that interview.
That's true. I did. I felt like a weird, like I was compelled to justify having Jim Boeheim on the show. Like, why would I ask a college coach about NBA situations? Oh, because he's a hoops junkie. He watches everything. That was what was going on through my head in that moment.
Hoops junkie.
Jim Boeheim. He knows Billy Donovan well. He coached against Kobe White. He's a hoops junkie. Jim Boeheim's a hoops junkie. Jim Boeheim, hoops junkie. It's been a long time since I've talked to Jim Boeheim. He's a complete hoops junkie. Jim Boeheim. I know you're a hoops junkie.
I'm a basketball junkie. There was nothing better.
Yeah, if you talk basketball with him, he called himself a basketball junkie six times during that conversation.
Basketball junkie.
Look at you. Your nose is running, you junkie.
I honestly don't like either of you. Some of those had to have been repeats.
No, that's the point.
They had to have been.
I don't embellish audio. That's not what I do.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
The truth is stranger than fiction.
God.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Damn. All right. Well.
Hoops junkie.
That's reasonable. How would you describe someone who watches any basketball game at any hour of the night?
Fan. Big basketball fan.
Yeah, fan.
Short for fanatic, by the way.
Big basketball fan. But he's a coach. Calling Jim Boeheim a basketball fan would be a little ridiculous. Hoops junkie makes all the sense in the world. And you heard him. He called himself a basketball junkie.
Yeah, like six times.
Yeah. You heard that part, right? So see? I'm the mirror back on the guest. It was reflective of what he calls himself. I really support pretty much anything Seth Rogen does, by the way. I want to support his new marijuana company, Houseplant. He made a stoner action film in Pineapple Express. He made an apocalyptic movie that's hilarious with his friends. This is the end. He turned his high school search to lose his virginity into one of the most successful comedies of all time and Superbad. Pretty much a fan of anything. I think you would enjoy Sausage Party, Shane. I'm gonna refute Score Junkie 53. I'm going all in. Shane would laugh at Sausage Party.
All right, I will watch it if you correctly Venmo me $60.
Dude, I can't believe I sent $60 to a different Shane Reardon 670. What are the odds?
Well, no, that's not the thing. Like, that's my Gmail, but that Gmail is not hooked up to my Venmo, so I can't access that.
So where is that $60?
Just in the ether.
In the ether?
Yeah, I think Venmo pockets it.
Wait a second. That's not cool. I thought I sent it to a different Shane Reardon.
No, that's my Gmail, but my
Who
Gmail...
Who the hell cares?
Well, $60 is big for me, Danny. I work in radio.
Well... Okay.
It was a bet, and I did double what the bet required.
So I need to... Okay. I'll find out if I actually lost that $60. If I didn't lose that $60, I'll send it to you.
Okay.
All right. If I did lose that $60, I'll still send it to you.
It's okay. But I'm good.
You got to watch Sausage Party.
No.
What? Tanny?
That's just one of those movies. If it came out after 2014 and you're a dad, that's how I know that's why you saw it, because you didn't have kids at the time.
Yeah.
That's one of those movies where, like, you know what? I'm just never seeing it. Sorry.
It's just lost. Like my $60. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
Oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.